Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. And, hey, the Taliban, have you heard their latest? The Taliban are saying, we will fight to the death. And I thought they weren't on our side. Man, if we had one request of the Taliban, just one thing we wanted them to do, what would it be? Fight to the death. That's it. We couldn't ask for anything better. And remember, to keep so far everything that's happened in perspective, we lost 7 buildings and a few thousand people. Great tragedy. But the Islamic extremists lost a country, an army, and an entire government. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Tonight, it's Wednesday, November 21st, 2001. I want to welcome our audience on the internet. And I'd like to also welcome those in South Bend, Indiana, listening on WHME. And I know we especially have a large group of friends in Warsaw, Indiana, because of our annual seminars there. And since WHME gets into Warsaw, hi to you guys also. Please feel free to call us at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, hey, President Bush has announced plans to rename the Justice Department after Robert F. Kennedy. So it will be the Kennedy Justice Department. And I know that there are many Republicans, not to mention conservatives, actual conservatives, who are pretty upset about that. And with Bush's enormous popularity, there's a general unhappiness with him, not by one or two, but many, many Republicans in Congress, because he's not using that to lead the nation. He's doing a great job in the war, but caving into liberals and Democrats on a number of issues. And now's the time for him to really push the conservative agenda with all his popularity and his great ability to communicate. And when you know the truth and you have people's ears, and they have a tendency to like you to start with, hey, there we have it. But anyway, what a mess. It's not happening. Now, hey, a story out from PETA. PETA, P-E-T-A. You know, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or People Eating Tasty Animals. Hey, we have a rule on Bob and Eric Live. Whenever an animal rights story is in the media, we eat additional animals. I do it on the show, and we encourage people in our audience to do that. Whenever an animal rights story is in the news, eat additional animals. Now, I don't mean have a cheeseburger, because that's just part of an animal, right? How many cheeseburgers can McDonald's get at a one head of cattle? I bet you they get a lot just out of the head. Oh, but what, thousands? So anyway, eat entire animals. Small. So they have to be small animals, like sardines or shrimp. Because shrimp, you know, you could have, man, you could, if you know, you could get those teeny weeny tiny little shrimp they serve at Red Lobster. No, I'm only kidding. You get tiny little shrimp or bay scallops. How about that? Or I've got here a can of anchovies. And so I thought, since I'm going to do this PETA story, PETA, they're sending tofu turkeys to homeless shelters. They're sending tofu turkeys to homeless shelters. And so for this story, I think it's only fitting that we keep our rule. I'm going to open this can of anchovies here. And Oh, I love anchovies, but I just got anchovy juice on my notes for the show. Man, this is going to be one salty show, I'll tell you that. Let me see. That's good. I like, that's good, Jason. You know, my mother always said, Robert, don't talk with your mouth full on a radio. My mother always said that to me when I was growing up. Where can I put this? Here, I'll put that there. I'll put that there. And now I have anchovy juice on my notes for the radio show. What am I going to do? Oh, man. I'm going to eat one anchovy during each segment of the show after each break. And we have pizza tonight, and there's still a few pieces left, right? You know, this anchovy juice here on my notes, Jason, I want to tell you what that reminds me of. It reminds me of being on a radio in Denver. I think it was KBX, radio station KBX, but I don't recall. I think it was an FM station. And it was a show where I was on with a transvestite, and we were debating for an hour with the show host. He was the moderator. And before we went on the air, the transvestite, now it was a guy dressed up, well, actually more than dressed up, but like a woman. And I tell you, it was coyote ugly. It was coyote ugly. You know what coyote ugly is? Coyote ugly is if you wake up in the morning and you see it on your arm, you would gnaw your arm off at the shoulder to get away. That's coyote ugly. Well, anyway, we're sitting 2 minutes before showtime, and we've got our notes and things on the table in the studio, and it had a big pop, and it spilled over the pop onto the table. And so the table's got this puddle of Coca-Cola on it. And its notes are all messed up. Its notes are filled with pop. So what it did was it took its oversized purse and it opened its purse and put it just under the edge of the studio of the table. And it used its notes, its paper, to scoop up all the pop and scooped it into its purse. So the transvestite scooped the pop into its purse. And we pointed out, you know, no woman in all the world would scoop pop into her purse. You're a guy. Ugly, ferociously ugly, yes, but you're a guy. If you might dress like a woman, you might mutilate your body, but you're a guy. Only a guy would scoop pop into somebody's purse. All right, we've got an instant message here from WTNV. We're on the web at kgovlive@aol.com. Hey, Bob, I bought some shrimp for tomorrow, but I think I will eat some tonight. All right, I want to say thanks. Thanks, WTNV. WTNV. Okay, and I sent that back. And we're at kgovlive@aol.com. Now, let's get to the story, because I haven't got to the story yet. All right, PETA, here's the headline. PETA sends tofu turkeys to shelters. Now, Jason Troyer, he got this story for me from the Associated Press. He's a producer of the show. And he said, Bob, and he did this during dinner tonight, right? He said, Bob, here it is. PETA sends tofu turkeys to shelters. And the story is they're sending homeless shelters these tofu turkeys. And I started laughing. And I said, I've spent plenty of time in homeless shelters, you know, as a ministry, helping guys out there, telling them that they shouldn't be feeding the alcoholics and drug addicts. They should let them get hungry so they'll go to work. But anyway, I said, those guys won't eat that garbage. There's no way in the world a homeless guy is going to eat a tofu turkey on Thanksgiving. He won't even eat it in May. He's not going to eat it. And so anyway, Jason gives me the story to do. And so I go to the bottom of the story, and they quote an administrator of one shelter near Washington, D.C. And he says, well, our Thanksgiving Day meal will include real turkey. And he says this, okay, so they're going to include real turkey, right? That's along with the tofu. But he says, even if we're unable to use it here, there are other food pantries who we can share it with. They're not going to use it there either. Only a wacko would eat a tofu turkey on Thanksgiving. And to eat it in May, you have to be a near wacko. Now, well, anyway, PETA, you know what they used to do on Thanksgiving? Do you remember? They had the banners that said, Thanksgiving is murder on turkeys. Now, how have we responded to that for years? Thanksgiving has given life to millions of turkeys. Millions of turkeys would never have lived. They would have never seen the light of day. They would have never breathed the breath of air. They would have never known their mother's love had it not been for Thanksgiving. You know, the Turkey Federation, there is such a thing as the National Turkey Federation. They say that about 45 million turkeys will be eaten tomorrow. 45 million. Right there. This would be genocide if we canceled Thanksgiving. You would kill 45 million turkeys, PETA, just to grow more tofu? You heartless beasts. Think about that. 45 million turkeys would never live. It's better to live and be eaten than to never have lived at all. So they're sending the tofu turkeys to 50 homeless shelters around the country. And they're also sending tofu jerky to the aircraft carrier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, that's now deployed in the bombing campaign in the Indian Sea. Now, what do you think of that? You got a product you're trying to sell, an issue, something you're doing. And so what this is it's exploitation of our servicemen during a time of war. Why don't we ship them the plot manuscript? We'll ship some of those to the USS Theodore Roosevelt. How about that? And tofu, you know, they might think this tofu is some kind of suspicious substance. This is not the time to be sending strange-looking powders and substances through the mail. All right. Our phone number, 303-463-7789. Or 800-8-N-YART. We'll be right back.
Let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's where a lot of unbelievers start their argument. They think their ancestors were pond scum. No matter how much you want to agree with them, the Bible says we were created in the image of God. So do you know how to defend creation when someone calls it a fairy tale? What will you say to an evolutionist when he states, we've been here for millions of years? Get the information you need to make the evolutionists squirm in their chair. Bob Enyart has been a talk show host and a student of science for many years. He knows the evolutionary argument, and he knows that science proves there is a creator. Genesis Creation is a 6-tape audio album for $29.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-ENYART. The Bible is not only a book that shows us the one true God, it's also a book that tells the history of the Jewish people, a history filled with names and places that we can still find the evidence of today. Secular historians have doubted many things the Bible claims, including the existence of King David and the city of Nineveh. Archaeological digs in the Middle East prove over and over the skeptics were wrong and the Bible is correct. Bob recently took a group of people to Israel to see firsthand the evidence that the Bible is historically accurate. We produced a 2-hour video so you can join Bob and see for yourself that at least the history of the Jewish people has been recorded accurately. And if the history of the Bible is true, then the message of the one true God may be true. To see the evidence for yourself, give us a call and ask for Bob's Bible Tour of Israel, available for $19.95. Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
Okay, we're back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-Yart, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, we got an email here, so I'm glad to hear this, that WTNV instant messaged us and said he bought some shrimp for tomorrow, but he'll eat some of it tonight, because there's a PETA story out today, and that's the way to do that. That's great, thank you. And he also wrote that he ate some tofu once. I thought I had accidentally taken a bite of my napkin. That's funny. I agree with that. I agree with that. Okay. Now, we've got an email here from DC Manning. And I won't give the whole email. That's enough. It's actually from a Tamara. And it says, "Dear Bob, I've been following your ministry for several years now and am pleased to say that I've learned so much from your programs, TV and radio. Thank you." And so nice. Thank you very much, Tamara. Then she goes on to say, "I recently read a book called The No Spin Zone by Bill O'Reilly. In his book, O'Reilly states," and we've talked about O'Reilly for a while. I think we had a show in our archives we have called O'Reilly O'Reilly. Right? We do, yeah. O'Reilly O'Reilly. And I've been on his show and where he opposed me for basic conservative spanking statements. And he, from what I know about O'Reilly, he's very much pro-homosexual and he's against the death penalty and on and on. But anyway, that's the point in this email here. Tamara says, O'Reilly did an interview with President Bush. And guess what, Tamara? I saw that interview. And in it, he said that, and you know, Bush is pro-death penalty. So O'Reilly says to Bush, this was during the campaign, I think, he said that O'Reilly said, "Well, I don't think Jesus would approve of the death penalty." And of course, Jesus did approve of the death penalty, as does the New Testament, quite, you know, a number of occasions. And Bush said, well, that he believed the death penalty, but he wouldn't touch that with a 20-foot pole because there's no way he could possibly support his view from a biblical standpoint because he doesn't know what the Bible says about it. But anyway, what a shame, Tamara writes, that O'Reilly prides himself on no spin, or in other words, only truth, in his book and on his show. Seems to me he is spinning on this one. I'd say yeah, on that one and quite a few others. You know, conservatives, so many like O'Reilly because he doesn't like Bill Clinton and Janet El Reno and the Clinton administration. And he's willing to expose, for example, the charities like United Way and the Red Cross, not because they're radically pro-homosexual and pro-abortion. No, he would never bring that out. Not because Elizabeth Dole, when she was the president of the Red Cross, gave employee benefits to the homosexual partners of their employees. Not for that, but, you know, for the recent fiascos, which he's right in doing, but he's really missing out on what's really wrong with these people, with these organizations. Okay. Now, hey, PETA, a little bit more on PETA. Remember, just a couple things here out of my notes. I was looking on my co-host, Al the Fourth is my co-host. He's a notebook computer. And I asked him about PETA, and he reminded me of some of their slogans and quotes. They had a campaign, a Got Beer campaign on college campuses where they had Got Beer posters and ads instead of Got Milk. And that's all college students needed, was encouragement to drink more alcohol. So that was right up there with their brainstorming ideas. Then Rats Have Rights in New York City. This was at CBS Studios in June of 2000. Remember the CBS TV show Survivors, where they were going to eat rats? And they were screaming, rats have rights. You know, New York City has this effort to try to control its 28 million rats. And their PETA campaign coordinator in New York, Raylene Smith, said, quote, we would encourage them to control the population with non-lethal methods such as sterilization. So we're going to sterilize rats in New York City. That's pretty funny. That's really funny. And the worst probably is their president, Ingrid Newkirk, who said a rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. And there is no rational basis for saying that a human being has special rights, says PETA. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. How's that one? Now, we've long maintained that you cannot elevate animal rights without lowering human rights. You can't do it. And that's why PETA, the leaders of animal rights organizations across the world, and in this country, they're pro-abortion. They're against killing unborn pigs, fetal pigs, but they support killing fetal boys and girls. All right. Now, hey, can you find the public school student in this story? Find the public school students in this story. This is out of Houma, Louisiana. Houma. All right. Associated Press out today. Three teenagers were charged with terrorizing bingo players with squirt guns. All right, now this happened on October 15th. So September 11th, about a month after the terrorist attack, a couple weeks after the anthrax scare and concern over chemical weapons and biological weapons, they used these large squirt guns, and so they were charged with terrorizing 175 bingo players, because these people, many of them elderly people, were brought to a near panic when these punks burst into a bingo hall and sprayed 10 of the players with their oversized squirt guns. What do you call those guns? Super soakers. There you go. And the players, they were afraid that this was connected to the terrorist attack or anthrax scares or chemical weapons. Maybe there was acid in them. They were petrified. So these three morons were charged. I don't know the exact charge, but the Associated Press says they were terrorism charges, not like international terrorism, but they were charged with terrorizing these adults. And those charges were dropped in a plea bargain when they pled guilty to battery. And in their sentence, they have to write an essay titled, Why I'm Proud to Be an American. Well, I'm proud to be an American because I could squirt up a bunch of bingo-playing morons and all I have to do is write this stupid essay. That's why I'm proud to be an American. They also have to speak to an eighth grade class. How's that one? Kind of speak to an eighth grade class. That's good. I like that. Yeah, that's just perfect. These kids will be role models. All right, what else? Hey, in Illinois, now that was down in Louisiana. Let's go north to Illinois, where at least there is an appropriate sentence. A man killed two people and injured 16 others in a shooting rampage at a crowded bar, and he's just been sentenced to death. Yesterday this happened, and we're glad to hear that. But the bad news is he's still alive. They sentenced him to death yesterday for killing two people, injuring 16 others, and now it's more than 24 hours later, and he's still alive. Why isn't he dead yet? You know, by the time they execute him, we will forget all about him, the crime, the victims, and it will no longer be a deterrent. Because the Bible tells us that the sentence has to be executed swiftly. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So he testified, the murderer. By the way, he was an ex-con. He had been in prison previously. He testified, the only feeling I will express is that I have no fear. You know, if we were executing him, he'd have fear, all right. Yeah, he'd have fear because it would be swift and painful. And he'd have fear. He was thrown out of this pub in Elgin, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, after drinking heavily, harassing women, and fighting with bar employees. He returned an hour later wearing a gas mask and carrying four guns. He yelled profanities and he asked for the guy who threw him out. And here comes this guy, this drunk guy with four guns and a gas mask on. He says, hey, where's that guy? Where's that guy, John, who threw me out? Oh, hold on. We'll go get him. Well, anyway, what a tragedy. He killed a 48-year-old guy and a 38-year-old bartender. And he should be dead now. So the bad news is he's still alive. Now, when we were on TV, when we went on at midnight, and Indiana would often schedule executions at midnight. I don't know about often. Indiana or the surrounding states. And whenever, you know, in Indianapolis, where do they do the executions in Indiana? Terre Haute. And I've got a friend who works at Indianapolis Power and Light. And whenever they did the executions, the shift that was on duty making the electricity, they revved the generators a little higher that night. And they would say that was their way of participating. And they would say, we're going to make sure that there's not a lack of electricity for this execution tonight. And I was proud to know some of those men. Yeah, proud to be an American. All right. Hey, we're going to take a break. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them in your people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know, if you're the guy I seen on Politically Incorrect, yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is Jordan from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some Strawberry Crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my box.
Now, if anybody's going to eat tofu turkey tomorrow, you just heard them. You heard from the tofu fans. And I guarantee you they'd vote for tofu turkey for homeless people. Guarantee it. All right. Hey, a little bit of airline news. How about some airline news? The guy that ran up the escalator through the security at Atlanta shut that down. He didn't want to miss his flight, and he forgot his camera. So much for that. And it's not a crime, apparently. It cost many millions of dollars to the airline industry, and it's practically incalculable what it cost all the people whose flights were delayed or canceled. And he's facing misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct. Okay, so anyway, not that Atlanta, the airport there, didn't overreact a bit, but still. Okay, now, see if you could find the public school alumnus in this story. All right, the last one was the 3 teenagers shooting the bingo players. See if you could find the public school alumnus in this story. A United employee is still in jail, and he will remain in jail while drug running charges are pending against him. All right, his name is Michael Armstrong. He's from Los Angeles. He's 48 years old, and he was arrested in Denver at our airport, DIA. Denver International Airport. He was waiting to get on board a United flight to St. Louis. Well, authorities found 2 kilograms of cocaine and 1 kilogram of heroin inside his carry-on bag. Now, how did they know to look? How did they know to look? Well, he was changing planes in Denver. He was going from Los Angeles to St. Louis through Denver. And he had a seat assignment. His ticket and his boarding pass said seat 17F. And he works for United Airlines. But he asked a gate attendant. He said seat 17F Does that mean I get to fly first class, the F? And she said, no. And she noticed that he had crew badges on his luggage. You know, those orange crew stickers? And she's thinking, So Annie had a United employee photo ID clipped to his suit. And she's thinking, somebody who's on a crew, and that's either the pilot or the stewardesses, they would know 17F does not mean front first class. They would know that. So she was suspicious, and they searched the bag and sure enough found the drugs. So now he's in jail. So find the public school alumnus in that story. That's one thing we have to be thankful for about our public education system. Dumber criminals. Dumber criminals. The gross national product is producing a torrent of dumber criminals. All right, now, find the public school alumnus in this story. This is another airline story, okay? Find her in this story. Now, there are people around Denver International Airport that are suing the airport because of the noise. It's very noisy, especially the old jets, the Boeing 727s, very loud jets. They really are loud. And they're the stage one noisiest aircrafts. Then there are stage two noisy aircrafts, but it takes 10 of those to equal the noise of one 727. So the stage two craft, they're not nearly as loud, not nearly the problem. Well, so there's a resident named Kim Katz who is suing the airport with others because of the noise. So she's got a lawsuit going and, you know, most likely would like some money out of this. And she says the noise, the value of her property is decreased, and that's very well possible, and it could be that it's a valid lawsuit. But after September 11th, the air traffic is down dramatically, and as a result of that, the airlines need fewer planes. So United Airlines, they canned their entire fleet of old, loud Boeing 727s. They canned them. Now, it used to be in DIA, 72 planes per day of these loud planes would fly out of DIA, 72 a day. After they cut their fleet, it went down from 72 to zero. There are none. So I'm going to go to the phones now, But Kim Katz says that doesn't impress her any. The impact on us is not going to go away, she says. And they're pressing on with the lawsuit. All right, let's go to Indiana. And Damon, speak your mind.
Hey, is this Bob?
This sure is Bob.
Okay, I was just wondering, Bob, how you can call yourself a Christian?
Damon? Damon?
Yeah, I'm here. Just wondering why you can call yourself a Christian.
Are you suggesting I'm not a Christian?
I'm suggesting that you spew a lot of hate rhetoric over the radio where a nationwide audience can hear, and I was just listening to your radio on the phone.
Yeah.
I got to get away from the radio. They got to turn it down or something.
Yeah, we'll get feedback here.
I was just wondering, you know, I couldn't believe it. I caught a little snippet about you were talking about a guy who was getting executed in Indiana and how they turned up the juice, and you thought that was great and
yeah.
Proud to know the guy, and you know, if he was going to get executed by you, then it would be quick and painful and yada,
right.
Yada, yada. And I'm just wondering,
why would you call that hate?
Well, what else is it, Bob? Is it love?
It's
are you talking positive? Are you speaking life over
yes.
This guy?
Well, it's a Damon.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
If you...
Damon, is your radio on? Could
yeah,
you turn it down?
Yeah,
we're having serious...
They can turn it down. Okay.
Okay.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You were standing before the Lord.
Yes.
And that guy was getting executed. Could you and would you say those words to God? Would you say, yeah, God, I'm glad it'll be quick and painful if I could execute him? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Damon, God said those words to us.
Right. That therefore,
God told us,
"This is not yours to go on the radio to a nationwide audience, Bob."
Damon, let me make my point clear before you agree with me.
You made your point. You really you're homophobic.
Before you agree, Damon, before you agree with me, let me make it clear.
I'm not going to agree with you, Bob.
You just did agree. I said God said those words to us, and you said yes. Understand what I'm saying? God told us that when we execute criminals, that we should bring vengeance, wrath, and terror to them and execute them with the sword.
Bob, if you can find that verse in the Bible, I'm Ronald McDonald, okay?
Romans.
You get your Bible open right now.
I don't need
to.
Quote
that chapter and that verse to me, and by God, if you're right, I'll give you kudos. But
Damon,
chapter the Bible says,
Damon,
where God says that we bring terror,
wrath, and vengeance.
Whatever you just said to our enemies.
Terror, wrath, and vengeance.
That, in fact, that's what the Bible says.
Damon.
I don't know what Bible you're reading.
Your Bible.
It's not my Bible. My Bible does not tell me to get on the radio to a nationwide audience.
Damon, let me tell you where it is in the Bible. All right?
Absolutely. I'm all ears. My ear just grew an inch, Bob.
Okay.
Give it to me.
And you said you'd give me kudos if I could get the verse, but I'd rather you give me $5. Would you give me $5 if I could give you the verse?
Bob, what's the verse?
Would you give me $5, yes or no?
Bob.
Yes or
what's
no?
What's the verse?
All right, I'll take it as a no.
What's
Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, God says that he delegates to the governing authorities. He delegates to them that they would bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against the evildoer, the criminal, and execute them with the sword.
Is that in the Old or New Testament, Bob? As if I didn't know, but hear me. Is that in the Old or New Testament?
Romans 13, it's the Old Testament.
Okay, we are living under the new covenant of the New Testament, Bob.
Good point.
By the grace of God.
Good point.
By the grace of God that
Damon,
we are living.
Damon, you got
by
me.
By the grace of God that you can open your mouth.
You got me.
By the grace of God, Bob, it's by the grace of God that you can open your mouth to millions, at least hundreds of thousands of people who are listening to your... Because I'm Mr. Everyman, and I listen to your radio broadcast tonight.
Yeah.
I just caught it. But I'm saying, you know what? I think that you should spend... It says in the Bible that we are going to be accountable for every word that we speak. And when you're standing before God,
mm-hmm.
none of these people that you're talking about are going to be there with you. It's going to be you and the mighty God who made you.
That's right.
You are going to be held accountable for every last word. Every last word, Bob, where you're putting down where you're putting down gays with your homophobic rhetoric.
Well, actually, even
hate.
If
I mean,
hey, Damon, I got to take a break if you'd like to hang on. But actually, if I do sin, I'll be forgiven by the Lord, right?
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Enyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to KGOV.com.
All right, I just got an instant message. Somebody's ordering a Big Mac and a fruitcake. Fruitcake. We have a video fruitcake. All right, and Damon hung up. So, Damon, thank you for calling. I do appreciate you calling, and you raised a number of issues that would have been great to get to, and maybe sometime you or you'll have someone call up to correct me on some other issue. When I was quoting Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, supporting the death penalty, Damon pointed out that Romans is in the Old Testament, and therefore, I guess, if I understand his argument, I don't want to put words in his mouth because he's not here to defend himself. But I guess his argument is, since Romans is in the Old Testament, then anything God said to us in the Old Testament could be discarded because God must have changed between the Old and New Testament. He must have changed his ideas on righteousness. And those statements of righteousness that God issued in the Old Testament, I guess now are no longer valid. And, you know, many of the quotes in the New Testament now we're going to have to delete because the New Testament quotes the Old Testament hundreds of times. And I do know there's a video out. There's a video called The New Testament Support for the Death Penalty. It's a best-selling video. It sold thousands of copies. And that's the title. Actually, that's the subtitle. It's The New Testament Support for the Death Penalty. And it's a two-hour video. So there must be something in that video out of the New Testament for the death penalty. But if you can't use that great quote in Romans, I don't know. Maybe there's not a lot more material. By the way, you could get that video by calling 1-800-8-ENYART. You can order the death penalty video where you'll find out, among other things, you'll find out which testament the book of Romans is actually in. Now, there are a lot of mysteries in studying the Bible. It's studying the Bible is a huge task. Some things are not as easy to perceive as others. One of the tougher issues is which testament contains the book of Romans. That's a tough one. But you see, if Christians will judge and condemn other Christians for their beliefs, statements, ministries, bragging, I guess, or taking the position that the Bible upholds their side when they haven't opened the Bible hardly in all their life. Isn't that tragic? And the self-righteousness that comes across. And obviously, I would have liked Damon to go on and explain his attitude toward homosexuals and why it is that he was criticizing me for my attitude toward homosexuals. I'd like to know. I really would like to know. So anyway, Damon, the book of Romans is in the New Testament. It was written by the Apostle Paul. It's the most significant treatise in the entire Bible on doctrine and theology. And it states unequivocally that God delegated authority to mankind to execute criminals with the sword and to bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against them so that others will be deterred from doing the same. That's exactly what God said in the Old Testament. God did not get psychotherapy in the intertestament period. He didn't change his mind about what should be done with a murderer between Malachi and Matthew. Now, Malachi is in the Old Testament. Matthew is in the New. And in Matthew 15, Jesus himself affirmed the death penalty as given by God through Moses to Israel. Jesus himself affirmed the death penalty. And in the book of Hebrews, and in the book of Acts, and in the book of Revelation, we find the death penalty. And in the book of Mark, the death penalty affirmed. And in fact, this is what God says about the death penalty. Now, apparently, what's his name? Damon, with a D on the end. Damon. Oh, see, that's what confused me. I saw a D on the end there. Damon. Apparently, Damon would not execute these people. Damon would keep them alive. Not because he's read God's word and he knows where the book of Romans is, but just because he thinks it's better to keep them alive. And here's what God said about that, about people like Damon keeping murderers alive. God said, "Do not profane me by keeping men alive who should not live." Damon, that's what God said. Don't profane me by, and Damon, right? Damon? Damon Carlyle. All right. "Do not profane me by keeping people alive who should not live." Now, Damon, I'm not going to tell you which testament that's in. I'm not going to tell you which book it's in. But I will ask you, honestly, to consider, before you condemn another Christian for their ministry, go to the Bible and find out from the Lord what God has said about that subject before you take someone's cliche to use as a weapon against the Word of God, before you take your gut instinct, before you take what liberals tell you. If you're a Christian, I hope and pray you are, go to the Bible and find out, okay, this guy's affirming the death penalty on the radio, no less. He's doing it in public. I think you should be ashamed to have that guy walking around. This guy is affirming the death penalty on the radio, no less. Why would he do that? Well, Damon, if you're going to condemn someone for you called into question my Christianity. You called into question my Christianity because I affirmed the death penalty. Do you have any idea the history of the death penalty in the scriptures? The development of the revelation on that topic. How God affirmed the death penalty over and over and over. You've heard a few verses taken out of context, perhaps. But, you know, the difference between conservative Christians who support the death penalty and study the Bible to do so versus liberal Christians or just plain liberals who use the Bible to oppose the death penalty is that the conservatives know all the verses in the Bible on the topic. We know all of them. We don't know just two things that Jesus said about the death penalty. We know everything that he said and his apostles and his prophets said, so we can understand the issue. Whereas somebody like, say, Hillary Clinton, if she were to be asked, she would have the same position on the death penalty that Damon has regarding what the Bible says about the death penalty. And Damon, you guys know only a few things that God in the Bible states about the death penalty, and those are the same quotes that will be quoted by liberals, by the ACLU, if they ever get around to the topic, or by Hollywood, or humanists, or Democrats. All right. Hey, I'm not even going to do this story. Forget this story about the best coffee in the world. Forget it. I'm not going to do it. It's toast. The best coffee in the world. It comes from Indonesia. And it comes from monkeys. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's it. But it sort of fulfills a prediction I made to some of my friends. But I wouldn't make it on the air because it's too gross. But anyway, the grossest conceivable coffee is now being sold in the finest coffee shops. Forget your cafe latte. This is $5 a cup, and it's gross. All right. Now, we're almost out of time. I didn't even get to my subatomic particles smashing at great speed story. How can I do this story in 2 minutes? Okay, real quick. You know how evolutionists believe in evolution, even though the chance of random mutations and just random molecules coming together, forming a protein molecule, forming a living cell, some animal randomly developing taste, then hearing, then smell, and touch, and sight. What is the probability of all that developing by chance? Well, it's not possible. But there's a physics professor at Columbia University who says they think they may have discovered a new form of energy or matter because based on their experiment, there'd be a 1 in 400 probability of those results happening by chance. And he says 1 in 400, that's way out there on the tail of the probability curve. This has got to be meaningful. 1 in 400, what are the chances that the first protein molecule would come together? 1 out of trillions times trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions? Come on, you goofy evolutionist. Get a grip. This is Bob Enyart reminding you that the book of Romans is in the New Testament, and do right and risk the consequences.